again, 'cause God is a Republican.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. I love this. This email that Sarah sent me. Evidently, there's a state legislator in Georgia. Her name is Darshan Kendrick, a five-term member of the Georgia House of Representatives, who has proposed a piece of legislation titled the Testicular Bill of Rights. And it, again, you know, this is meant to be satire, slightly. And I guess it would require men to obtain permission from their sex partners before they could get Viagra or any ED medication. It would ban vasectomies in the state of Georgia. It would make it aggravated assault for men not to use condoms. It would require DNA testing if a woman misses her period, is 6 weeks and one day late to determine who the father is. And then after 8 weeks, start paying child support in utero, and also a 24-hour waiting period for men to purchase pornography or sex toys. Now, look, it's meant to be a joke, but it's meant to be ludicrous to say, you know, men, do you like when women are making the rules for you? Well, we don't like it when you make the rules for us. And what's interesting is, and crazy all at the same time, is you've got the Republicans now running around saying that Democrats support the idea of you know, basically ripping children from the womb and killing them right there and then. In fact, you know, Trump, if I remember right, Trump said something just like that, like, I guess it's been about a year and a half ago.
Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change.
Yeah, lets him be born in the ninth month. He meant be killed in the ninth month. But, you know, hey, he screwed that up, too. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the insanity that we're seeing from the GOP around this issue, I've asked our good friend Joshua Holland to come talk with us. Josh is a contributor over at The Nation magazine. Josh, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
So, evidently, you know, I've said this a couple of times, evidently when my wife and I were having our children, as we were racing to the hospital, we still had time to get out of it. You know, the doctor evidently looked to us and said, which way are we going with this?
I think you probably made the right choice. I'm pro-choice in that way. You know, the thing that's so remarkable about this sudden talking point that the Democrats, they're one of our major parties, is objectively in favor of murdering children, is that it comes in the midst of this kind of year and a half, 2 year long debate that a lot of us have thought was pretty intellectually dishonest about civility in our political discourse. And if you go back to when Sarah Huckabee Sanders was denied service at that restaurant, the Red Hen restaurant, you remember that?
I do. If I ever get down there, I'm going there.
Me too, yeah. Everybody should check out the Red Hen. I hear the chicken's great. And the thing is that was followed by a lengthy round of condemnations of this incivility and calls for, you know, restoring a certain sense of comedy, a certain, you know, trying to fix this coarsening discourse. And then they turned around and accused their political opponents of wanting to murder children. And the thing that I find so striking about this is that it hasn't raised any eyebrows. That hypocrisy, which I think is just a stunning degree of hypocrisy, that has not been, I mean, people have not noted that the very same people, some of the very same people who were writing about the left's lack of civility are embracing this talking point. And it is so over the top. It's such hyperbolic rhetoric. It's such extreme rhetoric. I mean, you know, accusing your opponents of wanting to murder children is just...
Well, you got to dehumanize them, Josh. But here's the thing. I mean, and this is where, you know, look, they've been using this talking point for years. I've had evangelicals tell me that I'm in favor of, you know, this whole thing of going to the, you know, the doctor on the way to the hospital, deciding, are we going to have the kid or are we going to slaughter it in utero and drink the blood of our murdered child? I've had that. That's been about 5 years I've been hearing this.
I've been hearing it for longer than that, and I think that that's why people aren't putting these things together and saying, hey, wait a second, this is the most extreme, outrageous discourse, this is the most extreme, outrageous rhetoric that we've seen in a long time, is because we've been inoculated against it, right? We don't find it shocking because it's ubiquitous from the religious right, from anti-abortion groups, advocacy groups, et cetera, writers. And the interesting thing, or one interesting thing, is that there's really good reason to believe that they don't actually believe that it is a moral equivalent of murder. Because when you ask anti-choice people what the punishment for people who seek an abortion should be, they shy away from that. They say, no, no, we don't want to do that. And in fact, Donald Trump slipped up, because this is anathema to the anti-choice movement to say that we should punish women for getting abortions. When Donald Trump slipped up and said, yeah, maybe there should be consequences for getting an abortion, it was the head of the March for Life who said, there is no pro-life person who wants to punish women who seek an abortion. We want to engage in healing with them. Ah. Now, if you believe that it is murder, that a third of women, adult women in the United States, have murdered a child, how is it an appropriate response to want to engage in healing? Right.
If you're making it illegal, aren't there consequences? Isn't there something?
I mean, one would expect if you really believed that it was equivalent to murder, you would say we should punish it as murder. I mean, it only makes sense. And there was another little bit of anecdotal evidence of this was the whole Kevin Williamson brouhaha. Remember, the conservative writer was hired by The Atlantic and then swiftly fired because he had written that women who get an abortion should be hanged, I guess is the right way to say it.
Right.
And when that happened, his response was, nobody could possibly take me seriously.
When a religious person tells me, because I believe that they think they're of a higher moral fiber, when they tell me that we should be, you know, doing, you know, hanging people or putting them in jail or doing these kind of things, I kind of think that they understand the 10 rules, and one of those rules is don't lie. So I kind of think that, you know, they're telling the truth.
Well, I mean, I think that when they engage in that kind of rhetoric, it's hard to know what's in their heart. But when you push them on it, you know, and you say, okay, so you think it's murder, so what should be the consequences for murdering a child? The answer that you get is completely inconsistent with someone who genuinely believes that it is a moral equivalent of murdering a child.
No, but I'll tell you, I've met people, and I'm thinking of a guy that I really liked. You know, in fact, he helped me at a time when I needed help. He was a good neighbor. You know, he was a good union guy, all this stuff, but voted for Republicans because of the abortion issue.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, what would happen if your daughter, if we made it illegal and your daughter got a botched abortion and ended up dying from it? And he said, I wouldn't shed a tear. And I was like, wow, nothing.
Yeah.
And there are those kind of, you know, the extremes.
Exist, of course, they exist. But I don't think that is a common view. I mean, I don't believe that is a common.
No, I don't either. What I was saying is there are those extremists.
Yeah.
And then there are those who, well, you know, we're against it because you're for it. And it becomes that kind of a political football that you know, just it's really bizarre to me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And, I mean, we should step back and just note that the reason that we're talking about this is that Donald Trump has selected justices to the Supreme Court that are widely anticipated. I mean, people expect them to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Right.
Roe v. Wade, if I'm sure most listeners know, but it allows states to ban abortions after the point. point of viability, but not if the life or health of the mother is threatened. So the idea is, you know, if the Supreme Court is going to overturn Roe, the 43 states that have restrictions on late-term abortions in place are reexamining those restrictions. And in some blue states, they are simply codifying Roe into their state law so that if Roe is overturned at the federal level, its protections will still be in place.
Right, so rich women in the states where it's prohibited can go to the states that allow it and get what they want, but poor women are going to end up being the ones who suffer in all this. And
that
even if
right.
we made it illegal where, you know, where there were actual consequences, the wealthy women are still going to get the care that they seek and they want and they need, while, again, it's going to be the poor and the working class who end up getting screwed in all of this.
Which was always the way it was.
Yep.
Before abortion was legal, right? So rich families would send their kids to Europe or wherever, and others would face back alley abortion, dangerous back alley abortions. And the other piece of this that I think is important to understand is that late-term abortions, like the entire discussion over late-term abortions is wildly dishonest. They legitimately are suggesting that women will carry a pregnancy till the very end and then terminate it for no good reason. And according to the CDC data, about 1% of abortions occur after 23 weeks. Those 1% are, in most cases, the result of horrific medical problems.
Right.
And extraordinarily painful personal decisions that parents have to make. Some of the most traumatic, painful experiences a human being can possibly go through. And here comes the party that claims to be for limited government, the party that warned that the Affordable Care Act would put bureaucrats between patients and their doctors, and they're saying that if you oppose really onerous regulations interfering in this process at this terrible moment, then you're for killing children.
Yep.
I mean, that this is what we're dealing with.
It is. But these are also the party of the family values and the Christian Nation Party, which is always curious to me because I say, look, if you're against abortion, okay. Then how do we prevent it? Let's talk. Yeah. Let's talk education. Let's talk contraception. Let's talk when they're born, food stamps, and educational
right.
opportunities, and housing opportunities for parents who can't afford them. And yet, what we see, Joshua, is they don't seem to care about that. In fact, you look at the most recent Trump budget; he really doesn't care about that.
Oh my goodness! It is a remarkable document, and it's. Do you want to get into the Trump budget?
Sure. I mean, but you know, you look at the point of the reality is if you're going to force people to have children, especially people who are unable to afford that, you've got to be able to help those children. If you really are the party of family values, if you really care about the children, you're going to help take care of them.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you can go a step further. You know, half of women who seek an abortion already have children. And are and one of the most common reasons cited is because they don't feel that they have the resources or capability of taking care of more children at that time, right? So this is, if you want to talk about family values, there is a value to family planning. There is health benefits to spacing out children more than 18 months apart or 2 years apart, whatever the medical literature says. There's quality of life benefits you see with family planning that are enormous to families, right? They make stronger families. So again, it's just the whole issue is fundamentally dishonest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, why are you talking about late term abortions when it's so uncommon and it's something that happens in such extraordinary circumstances. You know, 90% of abortions happen before 12 weeks, when the fetus weighs 1/2 of an ounce on average. So they want to talk about something extreme because they can't make a substantive non-religious argument about the reality of abortion.
No, I'm with you. But also, you know, for me, it boils down to some other stuff. You know, because once they go after Roe, I assume they're going to eventually try and go after Griswold, too. Because ultimately, it's about punishing women. And ultimately, when you look at the people who are really pushing this, it's this religious hierarchy that wants to keep, you know, women in the kitchen, gays in the closet, blacks in the fields, and, you know, and have this kind of society that they dream about. You know, this idea of what they think the 1950s were.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. And there's another element to it, which is that we're in a moment when it seems to me that they're just desperate to change the conversation
right. From
what's happening in Washington, D.C., what's happening with this White House, what's happening in the foreign policy area, what's happening with trade, what's happening with the immigration detention. This is one of a number of things that they're just throwing against the wall to try to get us to talk about something else and focus on something else.
You know, one of the reasons I think this has come up, and the reason that they're pushing it so hard is they're trying to demonize Democrats, obviously. But the reality is, I think this has come up as an answer to what Trump and the Trump administration is doing to children on our southern borders.
Absolutely.
You know, they're locking them up in cages. So, well, okay, we're locking them up, but you're killing them and eating them.
Yes, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. I mean, there is a kind of confluence of circumstances, right? So they want to change the topic. They definitely want to have a counter to the narrative that they're putting babies in baby cages. And also, the Supreme Court appears poised to strike down Roe, so states are making these moves. All of these things are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
It gives them an easy but disgusting line of attack. And it's interesting because, like, it's so detached from the reality of what the policy situation is that it's not more accurate than, you know, saying, I don't know, we could say whatever, Republicans like to eat puppies.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. Like, I'm not going to go there.
I mean, it's just, it is an outlandish and outrageous charge.
Yeah, but I think I hope we're not that disingenuous. I hope we're not that dishonest.
I mean, we can't do that because we police ourselves. I mean,
at least I hope so. Because here's the thing, I'll tell you, myself personally, I'm not in favor of abortion. For me, I hope that, you know, when my wife got pregnant, I hope that she wouldn't have gotten an abortion, that we have our children. But I also don't think that I should have the right or the say what a woman does with her body. And this is one of those weird moments where, you know, we're two guys talking about abortion, and this is a woman's issue.
Well, it is and it isn't. It's a human rights issue, and you know, it takes two to tango. There's lots of men who have...
Yeah, but I don't think men should have a say in it whatsoever.
I mean, look, I think that in healthy relationships, of course, you should have a discussion, and, you know, that's... But I agree, certainly, legally.
Yeah, I mean, just like I don't want this legislator down in Georgia telling me what I can do. And, you know, if I'm going to have a vasectomy, it's going to be against the law. You know, no, I don't want that either.
Right,
so this is that kind of moment for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. But it's just, you know, I am wary of all of these distractions. And part of me wonders how much air to give these things. I don't know. I mean, we had the 2-week controversy over Representative Omar's thing about AIPAC.
That I actually agree with.
And we didn't, you know, where is the similar outrage on the other side when they say basically the exact same thing about George Soros controlling it?
Yeah, no, I agree with her statement.
Such bad faith.
No, No, but you're right. It's all about punishing. It's all about one of the things I've often said is they're much better at distraction and riling their base up. And this stuff riles the base up. Have you ever been in D.C. when they have that March for Life stuff?
I have, yeah.
There's some really, really, really crazy people there.
Yes, there are. There are. It's a good time to get out of D.C.
And the thing is these are the kind of people who scare me. Because they're such extremists, where I like to believe that I live my life somewhere between the curbs. Mm-hmm. These people are way off the tree lawn, man. They've run into somebody's backyard. They're so far out of the middle of the road.
Well, this brings up a very important point that I think is important to make, which is that, you know, we talk about this rhetorical choice. This is a choice of theirs to make this claim that people who are pro-choice want to murder children. And I think that for most people, it's clear that that is a political claim. That's a political argument. If you are not a stable person and you take it too literally, then of course it is morally justifiable to commit acts of violence against abortion providers. And there have been, as we all know, there have been numerous acts of violence, including assassinations of abortion providers. And right now, according to NPR, reporting NPR just a couple of weeks ago, in this current climate, clinics across the country are seeing a significant uptick in threats. They're hiring additional security guards, et cetera, et cetera. So this is an extremely dangerous rhetorical tact to take.
Yeah, but don't you think that's everything?
Irresponsible.
Yeah, don't you think that's virtually everything the Trump administration is doing? We're creating these powder kegs that could eventually blow. I mean, abortion being one of those things. You know, a lot of the heated rhetoric around, you know, race relations, around gender relations, around the things that are going on. Don't you think a lot of that's being built up?
I would disagree with the idea that it's about to blow because, you know, remember, a guy walked into a synagogue and shot to death 11 people because Trump was saying that George Soros and this Jewish refugee agency was behind the caravan.
Point taken.
Right? I mean, there was dozens of pipe bombs sent to prominent Trump critics. This is already blown.
Thanks for scaring me on this. So I should be checking my mail closely, is what you're saying.
These are scary times.
So last question I've got for you. You know, how do you push back on this? I mean, you know, what's the answer to this? I mean, because kooky people are going to do kooky things. What's the answer to this?
I mean, I don't know. I if I had the answer to that, I would be a very wealthy consultant. I think that we need to call it out. I have a piece on this coming out in The Nation on Friday. You can spread it around. I think that's part of it is just calling it out. We should not be accustomed to being called child murderers. It's not acceptable. It's not okay. I mean, it's so far from, you know, civility in political discourse. It's just, it's disgusting and we need to call it out for what it is.
Yeah, I see these kooky people saying these crazy things, and for years I've just said, you know, they're kooky people. You're going to have that. The sad reality is a major political party in this country has taken this as an internal message, and that frightens me. Josh, I appreciate the time. I look forward to the article. When it comes out, we will most certainly make sure everyone gets to see it.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
Great stuff. Thanks so much, Josh. Josh Holland, make sure you check out his work over at The Nation magazine and follow him on Twitter at Joshua Hall there. We'll make sure we get links up. Let's take a quick break. Right back with our good friend Justin Duckham from Talk Media News. Quick break. Right back with Justin. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
It is all about the children.